Archetypal Tarot Podcast explores universal human patterns, called archetypes, by investigating the major arcana of the ancient tarot. We recognize these archetypes because they are present in our own life stories, myths, and culture. Each card represents a stage of the journey for understanding the greater story of our lives.
Hello, and welcome to our penultimate edition of this adventure through the psychology and the real-life hero's journey that we see in this ancient mythology of the tarot. I'm Julianne Giveau, and with me, as ever, is Sindera Quackenbush. And our subject today is the card number 20, the Judgment card. And it's all about rebirth, redemption, revelation, and awakening to our true calling.
This is like the sound of this card. And just in case you missed it, Julianne just used the word
penultimate. Which means, Sindera just had to ask.
I'm so impressed.
I just wanted to use that word.
Honestly. And tell everybody what it means.
Second to last.
So we also specialize sometimes in vocabulary. So yeah. If you're wanting a fancy word to use for second to the last, penultimate.
We got it for you. But really what it is I'm a little bit sad. We're almost done with this whole little adventure here.
Oh, I know.
One more to go.
Yes, but
you haven't seen the last of us yet.
No,
we've got some stuff up our sleeve to take this material and what we've been doing, and you will see more probably. I'm guessing in 2014, as we spend some time redeveloping and taking this work into different forms and formats. So, along with that, if any of this has been of interest to you and you want to stay in touch and find out what we're doing next.
Or suggestions of what you want us to do next.
Absolutely. We're open to everything. Stay tuned at the very end of this podcast. I'll come back in with a email address and a very simple website that you can type into your browser and elect to stay in touch with us.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Actually, it's a lot like this card we're looking at today, because in this card, we have people rising up out of coffins. So, you know, when we end this podcast, doesn't mean we're dying. We're just...
There's a new iteration.
We're ending this phase of the journey and rising up from a coffin somewhere else.
Sure.
Hopefully not literally.
As a metaphor. It's symbolic.
We're masters of metaphor here.
Yeah, well...
In a foolish way. The most foolish way possible. Masters of metaphor.
Obviously. So speaking of symbolic and metaphorical, we have some really interesting stuff to take a look at here. So, and as ever, we will be looking at the Rider-Waite depiction of the Judgment card, number 20, as well as the Marseille deck. And just to say it again, the Marseille deck is probably the images here from the earliest, you know, like the original images from the tarot.
So. Yes, from the European tarot. And so, but we're going to actually deepen more into the Rider-Waite, because there's just more going on in this card in the later manifestation of it. The later evolved manifestation of it, which is a little foreshadowing for what we're going to talk about. But yeah, let's take a look at this very interesting imagery. But as always, in these podcasts, I encourage you, pause right now and take a look at the card yourself, and you know, what do you see? How are you impacted by this card? What do you notice? What sticks out to you? It's always a great way to approach the tarot before you go looking meanings or interpretations up in books. Have a direct experience yourself. So do that now. And now that you've returned, we're with the Judgment card, number 20, and we have a bunch of naked people rising up out of coffins. We've got a man, a woman, a child, and looks like another man, woman, and child in the background, rising up from, is this the ocean?
It looks like the ocean in the background, but it looks like they're floating.
There's also land with trees in the back. Mountainous looking clouds, but arising or coming out of the clouds, really taking up half of the card in the Rider-Waite version, is this astounding angel coming out with his long trumpet And he's just, and there's very visible sound coming out of the trumpet and coming down to the people. And there's this little flag attached to the trumpet that has a, is there a special name for that cross? It's just a very well-balanced cross.
Equal level cross.
Right. So it's not like
a... There is
like
a name for it, but I don't remember it right now. So.
Yes, there is a name for it.
Equal armed cross.
An equal, I like that. It feels so huggable. An equal armed cross.
Yeah.
Anyway, and so this is what we've got in this card, and it just feels like their arms are coming out. I'm getting the image, actually, of a flower, of something blooming here.
Kind of similar to what we saw in the sun card last time, the sunflowers, as they follow the sunflower, literally like little satellite dishes following the sun, so there is uplifting. It's a very uplifting, even though the images, I think, of the people kind of rising up out of these crypts or of these boxes or graves, they're gray too, as they're pictured in this card, but they're jubilant. They're excited. They're raising their arms.
And they look healthy and robust. And yeah, they're not like zombie apocalypse people,
no.
But they're rising up. So healthy looking. And inspired. And it's always a nice thing to note in each stage of the journey with the imagery of the tarot to ask, what's different in this stage? What's different in this card? And what's different in this that we haven't seen throughout the entire journey is that the people, the human beings, are facing the divine figure. They can see it. Every time before this, we've either seen like a big godlike deity on their own, or we see a godlike, like in the lover's card, the divine figure is, shooting an arrow towards the lovers, unbeknownst to them, or things were happening in the unconscious affecting our human hero, fool of the journey. But here they're facing the divine directly. And so this is huge and actually a very fortuitous card for the tarot.
And it is some very powerful images, as you were alluding to, an angel, a trumpet being called. There's everything about this is about a calling. So you've got, a flag, which is oftentimes seen as, you stake your claim on a new territory, you put your flag in it. The flag is about an announcement, a proclamation, and it's on the trumpet. So there's a lot about being called here. And the arms upstretched, embracing a new direction. The angel has always been, we've seen the angel before, and we talked about the angel archetype in the temperance card, and how that's, also a messenger bringing, that the angel is not connected to the earth, but it is a messenger. It brings sort of a higher level of consciousness. It's calling to us, and that, that the flag, as you were saying, the equal armed cross on it is balance. It's also seen as a representation of sort of the spirit and the earth coming together, and then masculine and feminine agency and community. It is balance, and then the four sections too. There's just a really powerful image there of the four directions, the four elements, a meeting place where things are coming together. So to kind of go back into where we have been coming from on this journey, we were just with a child in the garden. We've turned the corner, we were on Sesame Street, and now we come upon this really amazing scene. It's uplifting, it's a little bit, odd, and I think personally, having come from that child, the garden that we were in previously, which also was about an announcement. In the Rider-Waite, you've got the child with the banner.
Oh, yeah, he had a flag too.
Yeah, we're coming along. Mm-hmm. And this is, I think, very encouraging. There's a lot here about what we traditionally see as redemption. And we've been talking about this journey as a rebirth and this process, revelation. So there's a lot to talk about in this particular card.
We're very excited about this card. And the coming from the last one as well, we have the nakedness theme is still there, that there's this openness. But before we had talked about being vulnerable in a safe place in a walled boundary. And this, the doors are open. It's just openness in the community and being able to be vulnerable in your community. And it seems like, wow, we've really come so far.
And there's a real, I think coming from the child too, there's an honesty that, you know, the child is without guile, right? It was vulnerable yet protected and without guile and getting to this next place where things are being uplifted. And I personally see these characters, the images of these people coming up out of these graves is really us seeing all of our stories, you know, thus far. These are the stories that we have held. These are the paradigms that we've had so far. The parts of ourselves that, you know, you can retell the story this way and try to continue on with your life. But what this card is doing is it's calling us to give up all those old stories or to be able to look at them in the light of day and not see them the same way we did previously, to not retell that exact same story. Like the child here is right in the middle. It's like we all, you know, and honestly, everyone's had a screwed up childhood one way or another, you know, and by varying degrees. But there's always a story of my life now is subject to what happened to me as a child. And this, I think it being right in the middle and having directly come from the child archetype and the sun card, we're asked to give up part of that story or see it in a new light. To not just chase redemption, which is, I think, a lot of what this card, people classically see this card as something to do with the redemption story.
Yeah, so the child has really been our guide coming here from the last stage, and we're going to talk about redemption, we're going to talk about calling in this podcast, but before we get there, let's also visit, well, actually it's going to lead into our discussion about calling, which is that we also had the past stage of the star, and we're... Maybe it was somewhat unconscious still because it was in the waters after a pretty troublesome card, right? Was it after the falling tower, the star, right? And so maybe it was somewhat unconscious, but we were getting a glimpse of what our calling was in the star.
Our star is in sight at that point.
And here, this is like, I'm facing it and I'm hearing it and I'm listening to the calling. So once again, this is definitely a big step from where we've been on the journey. So let's talk a little bit about those callings, about those stories.
And then what is this trumpet? What is this calling? What is it calling up? And if they're at all important in our lives and if there are these driving things, they're usually going to be stuff that we don't want to look at. And that can be amazing things that we've done. And that can be things that we really feel like we need to redeem. And redemption is such, and I was touching on that before, but this idea can be such a driving force for us, and I think it is unconsciously the sense that we really feel that we need to be redeemed. And this is, you know, to me, there's the paradigm of the redemption, which is so strong, I think, in our cultures and in our religious traditions of redemption. And I've talked about it before, this idea of evolution, and how evolution takes into account everything. And redemption is you need to be redeemed. You need to basically do everything you can to redeem yourself for this mistake, the sin that you've committed or whatever it is. And that story just ends there. It is, you've got to redeem yourself. Evolution takes everything into account and sees it as a part of a greater whole and how, you know, your the untoward effects that you might have had on someone or something or a situation that you might think you need to redeem yourself over, and that might still be true, but the evolution sees the whole sort of ecosystem of what happened around that particular event or that thing that you're thinking about. So to me, I see this, the judgment card is bringing, calling us not just to redemption, but to that bigger story of that evolution, and how everything is intertwined. It's not just us and what we did and how it happened to other people or what other people have done to us. That redemption story is typically very small. You know, it's this leads to this leads to this, and then that's it. It's never really like that, though. And as I think we'll talk more about that when we bring in the movies and what we've seen on the big screen about it. But that looking at the whole evolution, what are we called to? What is that next level that we're being called to with each of these stories, as I see represented by these people, these images of these naked people in this card being pulled up, and to get rid of or to see those stories as being older stories, and now there's newer ones that we're going to be working with, hopefully. I think if we work with this in the right way.
Yeah, and that's a great way to distinguish this card from the Justice card, which is, and people sometimes confuse these two, but they're so massively different. So the Justice card being more of that society's structure and need for, you know, redemption to be, you know, carried out on a legal basis. But here, there is a calling and an opening to that larger evolution. What is the grander picture?
And being called beyond the mundane or the egoic, you know, all of those, you know,
That's
life
right.
life is what happens when you're making other plans.
Right, exactly.
Sort of those goals and things that your 25-year-old self or your 15-year-old self or whatever, those ideas of looking at all of those stories and not just seeing them as, well, this was a great success or that was a great failure, to be able to look at them, you know, straight in the face with some equanimity, and to be able to, even if you can't right now, see them as a part of the greater evolution, make space for being able to understand that it's not just about, I don't think anyway, about redeeming yourself, but about a greater path, the larger story that you're part of.
You know, what's interesting is now that I'm seeing this card and thinking about it, I'm curious about the maybe some parts that haven't arisen that are in the coffins, that maybe there are some things that need to be left, you know, completely, that we're able to die throughout this process. And maybe it is that attachment to the ego, or you know, to some perspectives that weren't serving your path in that way.
And that's exactly it. I think that the idea of seeing things as redemption versus evolution. Evolution includes that necessity of that egoic driven life, and knows that we don't get rid of the ego, but we can recognize it as a part of the ecosystem, but it tends to be the one thing that gets supported by culture and the one thing that we will lead with. That, you know, what do you think about me? It's the me-centered. The ego is also called the self-contraction, meaning you contract everything towards that part of the self. And this idea of evolution speaks to, you know, including that. You know, it's the transcend and include model versus the I've got to get rid of this and put it away. But, you know, the evolution can see it as I'm not getting rid of it. I am leaving it where it is and not letting it lead me
right.
through these next steps, what's happening.
Well,
to
the
me.
Very word evolution makes me think about, you know, animals and their evolution over time, and the ones that naturally are selected and the ones that don't carry their genes on for whatever reason, you know, whether it's by accident or by design, you know, they just can't survive anymore in the environment with something they're giving, and they're not needed to proceed forward. And so there's some things left down.
And
there
in science, I mean, I don't mean evolution in terms of the literal
scientific,
right? But with that, there are things that happen in quote unquote the idea of evolution that aren't explainable, that aren't related to anything that people can put forward to say, well, this was better, therefore it evolved. No, there's some weird stuff that happens in nature that
totally.
Just like head scratching. We're not sure why that developed this way, but again, I think that symbolically speaks to what we're doing. We don't always know these things that develop. We can't always see the pieces that are going on right now as a part of the greater whole. Sometimes we get a glimpse of it, and I think this is calling us to look at that. This is a card or a stage of calling, of being able to be open to that larger perspective, and that we won't always know. We won't always get that bigger picture. We will, I think, go back and forth between the small world of the ego to that larger, sort of bigger perspective at times in our life.
Yeah, and processes like working with the tarot in a special way, or looking into your archetypes. This is a way to step back from your personal stories, to see them all there, and to get some more glimpses of that larger story.
Yeah,
because we can't always know the whole thing or see the whole thing. And I'm thinking here of, actually, if you Google Craig Chalquist and his Earthrise presentation, which is available free online, I believe, that is a new symbol of our time, is beginning to step back and how can we see the whole? Is that possible as we travel out into space and look back at the Earth how does that begin to shift our perspective of living on this earth? These are big topics.
Really, really big. And I think, well, most people see, I mean, the judgment, right? That we will think pretty quickly of the biblical context, right, of Judgment Day. I mean, that is just a really, really strong archetypal story of being judged. And that this idea in the Bible, if you're not familiar with it, is that all souls at a certain point will be measured or marked according to their virtue or their obedience to you know, God or what have you. And that there's that idea of judgment, and that there will be a judgment day.
Yeah.
And we will be judged.
And every time we live with this feeling, right, like that we feel like something's coming and you know, shit's gonna go down. Okay, you'll have to make this an adult advisory podcast now. But I also, that Christian attitude was also adopted during 2012. I remember people saying, well, the people that are not living in accord with the earth their structures are gonna fall, you know.
And then it will happen all at once.
Right. Which, it's like this, yeah. It was a very judgment day attitude that came across in some groups and communities during 2012, you know.
Yeah. Redemption and that idea of redemption is so deeply woven into our lives, whether we're looking at it consciously or unconsciously. I mean, it really, really comes up. It comes up in film. It comes up in art. I don't think any person out there does not have a really strong redemption story or two, you know, be it a long-lived lifetime theme or be it a short-term one, and all the different emotions that are tied up with redemption. It's such a strong theme and a driving force for many of us. I don't think anyone is sort of outside of this story of redemption, seen this way of, I did something bad, I need to make up for it. You know, this is, I think, this stage of the journey is giving us some space. It's calling us to kind of look at what are these redemption stories that are basically driving me for better or for worse. And to me, that larger level in the way I talk about it is seeing the redemption story for what it is, and then seeing maybe and making space for it to be something a little bit larger. And we might not know that whole story yet. Mm-hmm. And that's a really complex thing to hold, is this idea that maybe this thing that I have been seeing as this redemption story is just a smaller part of a greater story. And that maybe it isn't simply about redeeming, although I think it is necessary. I'm not saying, oh, redemption bad. I'm saying that is probably part of a larger story. And that as we are all getting, you know, we get connected more and more through technology, I think we're, even though there's more communication, we might be able to see the ramifications of what our actions are doing a little bit more, or at least a little bit faster. And that there's just a bigger space that we can put this redemption story in.
I think I have it, Julianne.
You do?
Redemption needs to be redeemed.
Are we trying to redeem redemption?
We're redeeming redemption. Here in our, what is it?
Penultimate.
Penultimate podcast. So maybe it's a great time to begin offering some illustrations of these themes with these media and film.
Absolutely. And I think, well, I just touched on the biblical context of redemption and that idea. There's something that comes from Plato, and we're talking about paradigms, right? A paradigm shift potentially here, a new paradigm, a new story. Plato's Republic, towards the end, in one of the last books, if not the last book, there's the myth of Er, and that's Er. It's essentially, you know, when people die in the story, they go to this land where they're going to pick their new story. They're going to pick their new life. They're basically going in for reincarnation, essentially. And, you know, people go through this sort of sense of judgment, and people are sent one direction on the mountain or the other direction. And you're in this mystical land of choosing a new story. And as the story goes, Odysseus, who is Ulysses, you know, the great warrior through that, the hero's journey, he chooses a life where next to nothing happens. And that idea of that the re-choosing, you know, you're going to choose based on what has happened before and what do you need to learn. And each soul then chooses something based on what had just happened to create this greater story. And then they come back into life. It's something that James Hillman talks about in Souls, the Souls Code, which can also, I think, give some kind of context as well if people are interested in that idea of that larger story.
So I haven't seen it yet, but Julianne has been raving about this film, Cloud Atlas, and you know, I missed the boat. I didn't see it in the theater, and I. You know, it's not out on Netflix yet, so. but she is so excited to apply these themes of. Enlighten me. Enlighten us.
We'll have to watch it together because I got it through Amazon.
Oh, so. We're going to have a movie watching date. Oh, that's wonderful.
Well, to put some, I think, some more sort of visual story context around this idea of redemption and a lot more to the film Cloud Atlas. As well as the book written by David Mitchell. But the Cloud Atlas came out last year or earlier this year. It's a 3-hour film, but it's one of my favorite films because it does such a good job of storytelling over 6 different stories all woven together. So if we can see our lives as a set of iterations of stories with a lot of the same themes moving through it, and how really everything is connected. And this kind of comes from my own, you know, philosophy and my own sort of path of looking at this film and how everything is leading into one story, you know, and it really, I think, captures this idea of how our own individual ideas of redemption lead into like a possible larger evolution and how things sort of bump up against each other in this really amazing way. And it's really hard to take a 3-hour film that's about 6 different stories and encapsulated into, you know, 10 seconds of me talking on a podcast. But essentially, it's the story of is at least 6 souls, their journey over, I think, 500 to 1,000 years, starting, I think, from the 1860s and going to what, 2500 or, you know, beyond that. And I suggest if you're interested in watching it at all, you can watch it with an eye of these stories or just sit and enjoy it, because I think the storytellers and the filmmakers do such a good job that you can set your logical mind aside for a little bit and just kind of be with each of these stories. And I recommend the book highly as well. They actually interweave things a little bit more in the book. Mm-hmm. But you will see there's sort of these ideas of how we are not just our individual selves. We are, you know, bound to each other. And I'll just read a quote from one of the characters. Her name is Sonmi 451. And it goes, "Our lives are not our own. From womb to tomb, we are bound to others, past and present. And by each crime and every kindness, we birth our future." Hmm. And I think that has a lot to do with, I think, the big meaning of this card of judgment, of our connectivity to one another. And maybe the thing that we did in the past that we feel like we need to redeem and we feel so bad about was an integral part of somebody else's growth. You know, that doesn't mean we don't have to feel, you know, we don't have some sort of relationship to the redemption story, but we can make that story bigger and not condemn ourselves continually, because we don't actually know how all of that, you know, what that kicked off for other people. And we know that we make mistakes. We do things that we didn't want to do, or, you know, we have our own, we're human, we have frailties.
Yeah. Which is such a great thing about this judgment card is that it comes after, in the sequence of this journey, it comes after so many challenging cards that we've, you know, the falling towers and the devils and the hanged man's and through all of our, and our thinking we're kingly chariot card, right? Mm-hmm. All of these stages, we come to this place of judgment so we can live our human lives and be the change we want to see in the world. And now, today, in the present, when we are quote unquote awakened to a new way. And that's, and this isn't final, right? There's a final feeling in the context of the journey, but it's like we're constantly cycling through this, right?
It seems like a beginning to me.
Yeah, it's a beginning.
It's a beginning.
We may return to this place, right?
We will. And that's the thing too, is we've gone on this path from, you know, 0 through 20 now. And it's kind of fun, you know, it's easier to see things in that sort of one thing happens after another. When in our lives and in reality, we will have these moments of kind of being called to this, you know, it's called judgment, but I think it's really more of like an awakening. It's like awake, you know, that the symbol of the horn is waking us up, you know, like awake up.
That's right. And, you know, we talked somewhat before this podcast about how we wanted to broach the you know, the language around a calling, because, you know, you get hit over the head with that in various New Age career, whatever circles.
Not a day goes by that I don't get an offer to find my calling.
Find your calling here!
Yeah.
And so we don't want to whack you over the head with that again, but I think it's worth, you know, exploring a little bit about
this. I think we can unpack it.
Yeah, we can unpack it a little bit.
Because I think the terms calling and finding your true calling sell, because most of us are a lot of people, I think, listening to this podcast, and certainly us, that is something that's important to us. There's a sense of finding something very specific that we can call our calling. You know, it's a job, it's a vocation, it's a business, it's a relationship, that there's this idea that it's just this one thing. And that's what it will be forever. And that's a great way to sell something to someone.
Just so you know.
Just so you know.
And this is why I also like the judgment card for having all these people rising up out of their coffins in it. Because it, for me, it's also a symbol that it isn't just one calling.
Mm-hmm.
That we're complex, creative, multifaceted beings, and there's many things we're called to in this lifetime. Some that we're aware of, some that we plan, some that we don't plan. And I'd like to recommend a book in light of this by Thomas More, A Life at Work. So if you're interested in callings, there's a whole, you know, this whole book is about that and how does that manifest in your work, in life. It's very practical, but it's also very psychological. There's a lot of reference to Hillman in here, which is, you know, who
he's your guy.
He's my guy because he is always referencing the many, that there isn't just this one God that we're following in life, so to speak, metaphorically, that there's many things that make up who we are. But there can be, what can be interesting is to find what is a root that is under all of the things that you're interested in all of these possibilities. And in this book by Thomas More, it's called A Daemon. And the daemon is a primal creative urge. It doesn't inspire a single well-defined career. When you step back and look at the many things you have done, you may see the root inspiration and an essential direction. I have a client who definitely has the archetype and the daemon of beauty, and she's just great at so many things. She's great at gardening. She's great at hairstyling. She's great at music. And so that Aphrodite, that beauty, and also wisdom too, married to that, are these roots to what she does. And so that can be a great exploration to do. Who are these people rising out of the coffins for you?
Yeah, I mean, certainly from my point of view, looking at them as these archetypes, the character archetypes of getting a deeper understanding, you identify them and then see through them how they have created the story so far, and how each of them are going to carry a redemption story. They're going to carry all kinds of stuff. So sometimes it is just a matter of like you've identified with them, and then you can engage with them more consciously.
Mm-hmm.
And I would recommend too, in terms of, and this will be in the show notes, the Soul's Code, by James Hillman. And then another book, which I swear to you, Sundara, I don't make notes in books very often. I'm not one to underline or make notes in pencil or pen. But when I read this book, I couldn't stop underlining and making little notes in the back.
Wow.
Because it the way it was written in the quotes and what he talked about had just struck me so strongly and in such a way that I was like, yes, 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 yes. And it was like, it was underlining stuff that I felt that I didn't realize I knew, but I knew, and then knew things. And that's a lot to say about one particular book, but I do feel pretty strongly about it. And it's a book called Callings by Greg Lavoie. I think it was written in 97, right around the time Soul's Code was written, right around the time Sacred Contracts was written. And it's, I mean, the subhead is, it's Callings, Finding and Following an Authentic Life. You know, you and I were talking about the whole, like, you can be sold, like, find your calling in a weekend, you know, retreat kind of thing. the way he writes about it, I think, is so realistic. It's so, like, you know, you might read this book thinking, oh, I'll find my calling through it. It's really bringing you to look at your life in the present moment. It's not projecting it into, well, I'm going to find my calling once the kids are out of school or once I do this or blah, blah, blah. I mean, it really kind of pulls it back from that into your calling is right now in this very moment. What is happening with you that you can take a look at and work with right now? That is a part of your calling. And it pulls back that giant projection of like calling equals this fabulous job or this thing later on. It pulls us back into this hero's journey that we're on to see it.
Because it's not something separate from you.
It is not. It's not separate.
But we may be, you know, like the previous cards, be not totally aware of the divine that is part of us. But I'm reminded of that quote that life isn't about finding yourself, but it's about creating yourself. And that it's seeing what's in the moment and what are you just really excited and passionate and alive about today, right now.
And what are those difficult relationships or those difficult situations that are happening for you right now? I think we often think, I'll find my calling and I'll leave all that crap behind.
Right.
I think the point here is, the crap is part of it.
The crap is the calling. The crap...
Well, that and more, but it's not exclusive. And I think, and I'm saying,
it's like the alchemy, right? It's like I said it before, so I'm going to say it again. The shit of life can be, the crap is the calling. So the alchemist would even experiment with the lowliest of substances because they believe that they would lead to the gold. And I think that's a tremendous metaphor, whether or not they ever literally did make gold from
poo,
that there is something in that it is the soil. It is, you know,
it's all included.
Yeah. It's all part of the, it's all part of the blooming flowers.
And
there.
I think that's where I'm coming from when I talk about, when I use the word evolution, that we need a reminder that it's all included, that stuff that is driving us crazy and that we really spend a lot of time and energy in trying to get rid of, that it's a part of it. And that, you know, I use, you know, these metaphors and things around it, but it's at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, you can feel really screwed up and that's part of it too. You know, you can feel messed up and ill at ease and not right and in a wrong direction. And if we can bring acceptance to it and not just this resistance to it, that's huge. That self-acceptance, that acceptance of this where we are and not judging it in a way that like it's, I'm judging it to be bad, therefore it needs to go away, but including it and accepting it, you know, opens the door to that so much more that we think of when we think of callings in that big callings idea. We can't get to those, what we think of as the big callings, without accepting what we're working with right now.
On the topic of callings, I would love to recommend, though I believe it won an Academy Award, so you've probably already seen it, though not Julianne. I'm getting her back. You see?
You haven't seen Flat Atlas, so.
We're balancing each other out here in our well-balanced, equal-armed cross card here. and that is Searching for Sugar Man. It's a documentary. And it's about Rodriguez, a musician that recorded an album or two back in the 70s. Incredible lyrics, incredible music that really spoke to the time. But as far as the, for whatever reasons, the culture in North America did not take off. And he thought he was a tremendous failure. little did he know, his record just completely took off in South Africa, and it was just really spoke to what they were going through and the rebellions around apartheid at the time. And he never knew about this. He never knew about it was speaking to these people. So he just lived a very normal life as a construction worker in Detroit. And it wasn't until in his much, much older years that he literally got the call, a calling, became aware of this. And I think what's relevant about this is that sometimes it is the society that needs to be redeemed, or the surrounding culture that needs to be redeemed, or to have a calling, because he was doing exactly what he needed to do. He did his art, and he did this music, and he put it out there, and that was all he could do. And you know, record companies made money off of his millions of sales in South Africa, and he never knew about these sales or received any of this payment. So these structures need to be redeemed. But also that when you receive the call, when you get the calling, can you meet that moment? It kind of reminds me of a Cinderella sort of situation, where when Cinderella is given the beautiful dress and the shoes and is able to go to the ball, we often overlook that she actually needed to play the part. She needed to be one in herself and go like, yeah, this is what I am. I am a beautiful, enlightened being that can go and see people and be seen. And this is exactly what Rodriguez did after he learned this truth about his art, was that he was able to go and perform in front of thousands of people that he had never performed before in front of, and totally meet the moment, and knew that deep down that that was his calling, but had humbly accepted his life and other challenges as well, and just went right back to it after the show. So it's an incredible story. You should check out that.
Gosh,
that.
Now I need to see it.
it will make you cry.
I heard it was an Academy Award winning.
I think it won.
I know best, it was up for Academy Award.
I think it won Best Documentary.
As soon as we know.
I think so.
So double this, check that. So to kind of wrap up here, just getting a better, I think, a larger understanding of our own redemption stories, and maybe recontextualizing those, taking a look at them. Maybe it isn't just simply about redemption, or seeing just how much energy is kind of being sucked out of us because we feel that redemption's the end of the line, or the only option. And seeing it in the larger context, there's such a long list of films where redemption is such a main theme, you know, everything from The Shawshank Redemption to Les Miserables, Gran Torino.
The Apostle,
which is another great film that you and I were talking about.
Robert Duvall, check it out. Good story of personal redemption, but also right. Maybe the larger picture as well.
Yeah, and how it's on many different levels, and seeing things in a larger space than just simply being driven by the shame and the guilt and the idea of redeeming, or maybe redeeming a family, or redeeming a story that's been around. So it's a good time to take a look at that. And as ever, there will be a whole page on my website with more references, lists of movies, quotes, films, trailers, and stuff like that. So it should be a great reference for anybody who wants to learn more about this. And this is going to be almost our last show.
No. What is it? Penultimate?
Penultimate.
Penultimate. Penultimate show.
So one more left, and maybe a little coda after that when Sindera gets back from Europe this summer. But please stay tuned. At the very end of this, you will get a link to stay in touch with us and an email address. And as ever, we are really grateful for your time and listening to us. And let us know if you have any questions.
Thank you.
Show notes for this episode can be found by going to archetypist.com/judgment. That's archetypist.com. And if you'd like to stay in touch with us, just visit archetypist.com/tarot. And even if we only have one more show scheduled, please keep those podcast subscriptions active, because we might have a surprise or two for you. Just wait and see.